let's get into the Bible study tonight. I wanted to first say how I think it's so wonderful how the Holy Spirit has such a harmony in the messages here. In fact, Pastor's message on Sunday ties right into this, dovetails right into the Bible study tonight. In fact, the verses that he closed out with is what I'm going to be opening up with tonight. So if you want to turn to Galatians 4, and I'm going to talk about servants and sons. Many meetings these days emphasize service, and they want to know what your talent is or what your ministry is and how you can benefit the church or how you can do something for the Lord. And this Bible study tonight is going to be showing a better way, the way to God's best. So Galatians 4, starting in verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So there's something better than having that servant mentality here. And some of the things this is talking about here, it says that when we're children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. And the elements of the world, part of that you can read about in this chapter here. If you go on a little further, it talks about you observe days and weeks and times and years. And another place, Paul says that that is touch not, taste not, handle not. That's the worldly ways, the ways of the world. And if you're occupied with that, about observing certain days and things you should do and shouldn't do, and you're all caught up with that, you're not having your focus where it could be on the Lord. Those things in the Old Testament were a shadow of the reality, and the reality is Jesus Christ. We want to have our eyes on him. And in Malachi it says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. So how do you see God? Do you feel like you're a servant honoring God as master, or you're a son and you're honoring God your father? That's the difference we're looking at tonight. So in this portion here, it talks about a child. And in this meeting, we're familiar with a couple of Greek terms, technon, which is a child, and the Greek word weos, which is a more mature son. But in this portion, it's even a different word. It's in, for child is nepios, and it means an infant. It actually comes from two Greek words meaning not speaking. And I've got a little grandson that's just about 7 months old, and he's just starting to make sounds, and we're all excited to hear his first words. He's going to say mama or something, and we're looking forward to that. But we don't want anyone to remain a child, especially in the things of God. You want to grow up. So this nepios is figuratively an immature Christian. And a couple places Paul uses this, I want to turn to and look at 1 Corinthians 3. And verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. So this same word, nepios, is there. It says child. That child drinks milk. You can't give a little infant a solid food. They can't take it in. All they can take is the milk, and it's spiritually an immature Christian, that's all they're taking in is the milk, not the meat of the word. And one other place is in Hebrews chapter 5. Verses 12 through 14. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the contrast here is from these babes, this nepios word in the Greek, babes. They are just using milk. They're unskillful in the word of God. But the strong meat belongs to the mature Christian. And that's what we want here in this meeting. We want to take in the strong meat of the word of God. We all start out as babes and have to start out with the milk, but you don't want to stay there. You want to go on. So back in our portion here in Galatians, it's talking about servants. And a servant is someone that attends to another, that is, they're subject to their command. And it signifies being in bondage, even a slave, whether it's involuntary or voluntary. And it's not always a bad thing. In fact, if you look through the Bible and see who are called servants, there's some pretty amazing people in there, like Abraham and Moses. They were called servants by God. It's said that David served his generation, and he was called God's servant, but David was a king. And the Lord also called the prophets my servants. So to be a servant's not a bad thing, but let's go on and see what we're getting at tonight. Paul is another example. In Romans 1:1, Paul says he's a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle. And in Titus 1:1, he says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So Paul was a servant, but he also was saying he's not just a servant, he's also an apostle. He said that he was the apostle of the Gentiles, and he said, I magnify my office. So Paul in himself was nothing, but he was given a special place by the Lord. He was his chosen vessel to bring forth this mystery that was hidden for ages and generations, but he was a servant to the Lord. And then he's also called a minister. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verses 24 and 25. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So Paul was a minister, and a minister that also means a servant or an attendant. But he was given this dispensation, which is the same as stewardship. He was the manager of a household or of household affairs. So Paul was given the revelation of the mystery for this church age, and then he would oversee that and have it go on to others like Timothy or Titus, and oversee that, share the message with them. But Paul was the one that was given that dispensation. So he was a minister. He served the Lord by bringing forth the word of God, and that's what ministers do. But Paul didn't take any credit for that. He didn't think of himself as something special. And in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So Paul, he labored in this as a servant, but he didn't take credit for it, saying that he was better or deserved more reward or any more recognition in that way. In that sense, it was just the grace of God that was with him. It's all by the grace of God that we do anything. So it's okay to be a servant, but and spiritually we do not want to remain infants. And anything we do for the Lord if it's by his enabling grace, will be rewarded. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll we'll see this. This being a Bible study, we're going to read a few scriptures. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul, starting, let's see, in verse 10, he says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So Paul laid the foundation, and it's Jesus Christ, and we build upon that foundation. And if we build with the what's the things that will remain, gold, silver, and precious stone, we'll have a reward. And those things speak of what the Holy Spirit enables us to do. But if we build with wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn. And that wood, hay, and stubble is what the things that we come up with in our own selves. Like, I've got an idea, I'm going to do this for God, and I've got a plan, I'm going to go about doing this, and you don't really seek the Lord about it. You just think that sounds like a good idea to me, I'm just going to go do it. But it's not enabled by the Holy Spirit, and it's going to burn. You're not going to have a reward for that. So we want to have... build with that gold, silver, and precious stone. That is, we seek the Lord for his enabling grace to do whatever we do, and then he will reward us for it. God wants to reward us. He loves us so much. And so now going on, there's another person in the Bible that was called a servant. That's Jesus. Jesus was God's chosen servant. In Isaiah 42:1, says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." So Jesus was God's chosen servant. And in Philippians, if you recall, Jesus took those seven steps down. He was equal with the Father, and he took those seven steps down. One of those seven steps was to take upon him the form of a servant. And, you know, the four Gospels each picture Jesus in a different way. The Gospel by Mark pictures Jesus as a servant. And in John chapter 13, Jesus gave an example of this to his disciples. John 13, starting verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my head and my hands. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he saith unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So Jesus was giving that them that example that that was what this time is about. We're to serve one another, and it's we're going to have rewards, but it's going to be later on. And this is the time to be humble and to be a servant to each other. He says, I'm your Lord and Master. So Jesus is Lord and Master, but he was also showing them that this is the time for service. And there was another example of this when the disciples got upset. If you want to turn over to Matthew 20, there was two of the disciples that asked if they could sit on Jesus' right and left hand. And in Matthew 20, starting in verse 25, Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So you see here, Jesus said this was the time of ministering. And it's also, if you think about it, you know, this Jesus suffered in this life, and he said that this would be a time for us to suffer now in this life. But when we're in heaven, there's no suffering, there's no pain, no sorrow. But this is the way that we have right now. Jesus had that as a man, and that's what we are having at this time in our life too. But it's for a glorious thing. There's a purpose in it, and we'll get to that here a little bit later. And Jesus told him also, he said in a parable about when he had given out talents, he came to the one, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And who wouldn't want the Lord to say that to them? You would want the Lord to say that, well done, good and faithful servant. But, you know, there's something much better than that. And we're going to get to that, as I say here, in just a little bit. And I want to start to carry on this thought now and look at a contrast here of Mary and Martha. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 10. And starting in verse 38. Let's see here. 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So here's Martha, and she's serving the guests and Jesus at her home, which is a good thing to do, but look at what it's causing her. She's cumbered about with all this serving, and Jesus said, you're careful, you're full of care, you're troubled about all this. And is that the way we should be as Christians? Should we be anxious and troubled, cumbered about? No, the Lord wants us to be at peace. And Mary, she chose that good part, the best part. She just sat at Jesus' feet, and she just sat there and said, you know, I could just sit here all day and listen to his words. They're so lovely. I just love to hear his voice. And that's the way we want to be. We want to take in the word of God. That's the best part. That's the most important thing. And the other things will fall into place as they are. And we won't be all troubled and anxious about it, because we'll have the word of God first. And that's what guides us. So there's a choice there. You see that. Martha and Mary, they each had a choice of what to do. And Mary chose that better part. So going on with more of this thought, turn over to John chapter 15 and see something better than being a servant again. John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Jesus did say in another portion that the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. So Jesus is saying here, I'm not calling you servants, I'm calling you friends, because I'm going to make all the things that I've heard of my Father, I'm going to make them known to you. So you think about that as in a contrast. If you had servants, you wouldn't tell them all the things that was going on in your life. But as your close friend, you'd want to share that with them. You'd want them to know the things you know, and especially the things of God like this that Jesus had heard from his Father. He wanted to share them with the disciples, and he said, "So you're not just servants, you're my friends, and I'm going to share this with you." So that's a step better than a servant, isn't it? A friend. The scripture says that Abraham was called the friend of God. And you think about when God was going down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" No, he shared it with Abraham. He told Abraham what he was about to do. And he didn't share it with anyone else, but Abraham was his friend, so he shared it with Abraham. And that's the way, if we get close to the Lord like that, he's going to share things with us. And then turn over to John chapter 8, and then starting in verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And so here's another contrast. The servant doesn't abide in the house forever. It's if they're living there, they probably have their own quarters that they go to. But the Son doesn't go to different quarters. He stays there in the house. He abides ever. And Jesus said, if the Son will make you free, you shall be free indeed. And yesterday was July 4th, Independence Day. We celebrated our liberty that God's given us in this country, the liberty to worship him and many other liberties, but it's from the Lord. We celebrate that. And if you turn over to Galatians 5, it's kind of interesting. I was talking with Tim Baker about this not too long ago, and he thought about a certain verse, and then I thought of a different verse, and I said, "Oh, I'm going to look those up." And I looked it up, and it was the same verse. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So this is how it's what it's about. It's about love. All things are lawful for us, but in love, we don't do everything that we are allowed to do because we love one another. We love the Lord. We don't want to do the things that would displease the Lord or that would harm our brothers. We love them. And it's like Brother Hill used to say something I think would shock people. He would say, "You know, I get drunk all I want to, and I fight all I want to, I swear and curse all I want to." Then he said, "I don't want to." And that's the thing. When the Lord gets a hold of your life, we have that liberty. We can yield to the flesh and we can do those things, but we don't want to. We love the Lord. We want to please him. He's our Father, and he loves us so much, and he's done everything for us that we want to be pleasing to him. So we want to do the things that are pleasing to him, and it's not hard. We just yield to the new man. I think about the things I used to do before I knew the Lord, and I was a pretty ornery guy. I used to get in trouble and carry on, and just wondered, "Lord, what did you see in me that you chose me?" But he saw something. But thank the Lord, I don't look back on those things as something that I am proud of. You know, when I used to do illegal things and carry on and cause trouble, I'm ashamed of those things. I'm not proud of that even a little. I don't want to do those things anymore. I want to live that new life, that new man in Christ Jesus. And there's an example in Deuteronomy about this. Deuteronomy 15 is where sometimes a Hebrew would have to become a servant, whether they couldn't pay a debt or whatever. In those days, they would just serve the man for a number of years, and then that would be how they'd pay off the debt. So in Deuteronomy 15, starting in verse 12, and it says, "And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendeth him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise." So here's an example of someone that was a servant, and they had to serve the 6 years, but they could go free in that seventh year. But if they said, you know, I love my master, and I want to stay here and live with him and serve him, then they would put that all through their ear to the doorpost, and he would be there forever. And it's kind of like when we were in the world, we were servants to sin. And we got out of the world, born again, born of God. We're now in the Spirit. And we have that opportunity to go. We're free to go back to the things of the world if we want to. But the better thing is to say, no, I love the Lord. I want to be with him. I want to stay with him. I don't want to go back to the things of the world. And it's, again, it's because of love. So there's a good example. And now I want to get into some of the more deeper, the more better place. And let's turn over to Romans 8. And this portion really ties in with our starting verses there in Galatians. Romans 8, our pastor's been going through this chapter on Wednesday nights, and what a blessing. And it's my favorite chapter in the Bible. I just love it. But in Romans 8, starting in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage," or slavery, again, "to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And these verses in Galatians that are just like it says that we were redeemed from under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So these two portions really go hand in hand here. But we haven't received that spirit of slavery. We've received the spirit of adoption. I want to talk about adoption. Now, we're not adopted into God's family. We're born into God's family. It's the seed that remaineth. It's the life of Christ in me, so it's a new birth. Jesus said you must be born again. You're born of the Spirit. So we're born into God's family, but this word adoption in the Greek, it means placing as a son. It's not being put into a family like we would have adoption nowadays, where you adopt a child into your family. It's being placed into a place of a mature son. It's like if you had a business and you were training up your children to take over that business, and they would have to get to the place where they were mature enough, and you'd say, okay, now I'm going to place you as president over this company, something like that. So it's that kind of a thought. And so adoption is being placed as a mature son. And it's you already have to be born again. You have to be a child of God to be adopted, to be this full mature son. And the fullest manifestation of this adoption of this sonship is our glorified bodies. And here in Romans 8, if you look at verse 23, it says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So we're going to be getting glorified bodies, and that's going to show the fullness of our adoption, our sonship. And not everyone's going to have the same glory. There's ranks in the resurrection. There's a glory of the sun, a glory of the moon, and glory of the stars, and the stars differ from one another. And if you want to have God's best and be the closest to Jesus, you need to have that sun glory. Praise the Lord. That's the one we're looking for there. So then you'll have a glorified body like unto his own glorious body. And so going on here in Romans 8, back to verse 16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So we're children, like we have read earlier and read again here now. If you're a child of God, you're an heir of God. But there's something more. You can be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The ones that had the, where Jesus said to him, well done, thou good and servant, thou hast been faithful in a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. That's wonderful. But how about if Jesus says to you, I want you to be my joint heir and share in it all with me. What's mine is yours. Glorified together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the better part. That's the best part. Talk about a difference from a servant to a son. We want that full glorified together with Jesus, a joint heir. Hallelujah. What a thing we have offered to us in this age. We also read that if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. So now, as I mentioned, is a time of suffering. We need to suffer with the Lord if we're going to reign with him. That's the way God has chosen to grow us up and to show us our need for him. But it's not going to be forever. But as this life, the Lord brings us through it, sees us through these sufferings, and enables us to know him more and better, we're going to reign with him, and we're going to be glorified together. Praise the Lord. And I want to just look at a couple more examples of this difference here. If you turn over to Revelation, there's different companies in Revelation that we see, and I want to contrast a couple of them. Revelation 5, verses 8 through 10. And when Jesus is taking the book that has the seven seals on it. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So there's one group of people. Now that's actually two different groups, the 24 elders and the four living ones. But now let's look over to Revelation chapter 7 in verse 15. This is talking about the innumerable multitude. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. So here's two different groups. There's the 24 elders, which figure the Old Testament full overcomers, and then there's the four living creatures, which figure the bride. And what does it say about them? That they reign on the earth. They reign over the earth, and they also have crowns. Whereas the innumerable multitude, they serve him day and night. And what do they have? They have palms in their hands. It's the thing that the servants would use to fan their pharaohs or whatever to keep them cool. So, and there's a lot more of the ones that are servants than the ones that are in around the throne like that. So, again, this is just an example of being a servant or being a mature son. And I just want to kind of close with a thought here that It's about your identity. Do you identify yourself as a servant all the time, or do you identify yourself as a son of God, a mature son of God, and the one that you want to marry the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to be the wife of the Lamb? How do you see yourself there? It's like my wife. She does the things that a servant might do. She cleans house, she cooks meals, she goes grocery shopping, mows the lawn, does laundry, all these things that a servant would do. But she's not my servant, she's my wife. And that's how I see her. I don't see her as a servant. And I do things for her too, and she doesn't look at me as a servant. We're married, we love one another. And so how do you see yourself before the Lord? Do you see yourself as just a servant, or do you see yourself as his spouse? And I hope you see the better part. And I hope that this Bible study is something that would encourage you. And if you have loved ones that are maybe they're being emphasized to do service, do all the time, that this would be something that you could encourage them with the word of God, that there's a better thing than that. So God bless you. Hope you've enjoyed the Bible study.